Well, hello, hello, everybody. It's Mike Stewart, and here you are with MikeStewart.live, doing what I said I was going to do, go live on a regular basis, and there's all kinds of reasons that we're going to get to in this show. And we're going to have all kinds of wonderful guests, and in fact, one of the dearest friends of the world of mine, a brother from another mother, is our guest this morning, Hal Coleman. He'll be on the show here in the second half, but right now, I want to go ahead and get straight into the content of today's show. Number one, I want to share this slide with you, and what we're going to be talking about today is direct response marketing, but how I've done it with video and the inspirations and things that you need to go to the Google and research and just understand about and you know, look it up and just look into these things. So let me get over here to where I control my slides. If you've never heard of this man right here, this is my guest today, Hal Coleman, and mine. He's been a mentor to me in his writings. He wrote a lot of books. He's written, he's created a lot of events. This man's created more millionaires than you can imagine. You can't count all the successful people. People like Russell Brunson, who has one of the most successful online businesses called ClickFunnels, was a mentor of Frank Kern. A lot of colleagues I used to speak on the stage with are Dan Kennedy mentors, and they were in his inner circle, and you know, they learned direct response marketing from him. And the reason I know he's to be, you know, the real deal. But anyway, Dan was my mentor. I was honored to speak on his GKIC, Glaser Kennedy, stage multiple times on audio and video marketing. There's me speaking at GKIC. I did it many, many times. And I got to hear Dan speak about direct response marketing. And of course, I apply these principles to video. Now, I want to talk to you about what I want to go in depth with my host today, Hal, about direct response marketing. And I'm living proof of a lot of these strategies. And of course, there's a lot of advertising people out there that may not agree with what I have to say. But, you know, quite honestly, I don't care. I can just tell you that text, audio, and video are media. Text was originally done in print. Direct mail, direct response marketing was done in magazine ads, newspaper ads, before there was audio and television. And now today, there's audio and video media, which means there's print, radio, and television is what we had until the internet came along. And now the internet is all three. But at the same time, they're all media. And what Dan says, a delivery of a message. Now, Dan said one time on stage, all businesses need direct response marketing. Now, you can do other types of marketing, but he said, everybody, if you want to get to make money, you need to create a message that gets a response. And that's kind of why it's called direct response marketing, is because the message you give motivates people to take a response, a yes or no action to a call to action. And he also said one time, which makes a lot of agency people mad, is small businesses can't afford brand marketing. And what he meant by that was, to build a brand requires a lot of exposure and frequency, and it gets really expensive. Now, if you're on a shoestring budget, or you're just trying to build a business and you're spending all this money building a brand, but the phone ain't ringing with business, you can pretty much dig yourself a hole you can't get out of. So that's why he said you can't afford to start with branding. Now, there's nothing wrong with building a brand. I'm trying to build a brand with MikeStewart.live, but I'm doing it, you know, guerrilla style. I'm doing it shoestring style. I'm not trying to spend a whole lot of money. I just figure over time and exposure and frequency of doing it as affordably as possible, that brand will build. But to start off building a brand, you need direct response marketing. And what he said one time from the stage, direct response marketing is the perfect message to a hungry market. So in other words, you have got to construct the perfect message with a call to action, and you don't send that message to the wrong market. It's got to be a hungry market for the problems you solve. So he used to say many times, problem, agitate, solve, ask for the response. That's the formula that has made me probably millions of dollars. I haven't even tabulated exactly, but over the past 15 years, millions of dollars, literally, by just using this one formula I heard from Dan years ago. State the problem that people have, remind people how bad the problem is, and then explain to them why you're the solution. And then say, if you believe I'm the solution, here's the response I want you to do. Join my email list. go to my website, call my phone number. Those are all calls to action. And if you leave out that formula, it's probably just a branding message. And a branding message is great. But, you know, like, for instance, the big advertisers, McDonald's, I'm loving it. You know, that's a great brand message. But you know what? Everybody's not loving it. It's not a call to action. It's, I know you're hungry, and to have a growling stomach really is a bad thing. So if you come to McDonald's, we've got delicious hamburgers and fries and shakes that you're going to want. So what I want you to do right now is call the number and get 10% off your next visit if you'll just call the number or come in and say you saw this ad. That's the same ad off the top of my head for the same product. So, yes, McDonald's is a brand, very recognizable, Golden Arches, all those things. But we know that from years of exposure and billions of dollars of advertising. But when you state a problem, remind people how much the problem is bad, tell them that you're the solution, and tell them what to do next, you can get a percentage of the people to spend money with you. And this is the one that I know makes ad people the maddest. Pretty doesn't sell, words and stories do. I've heard Dan say that. You know, pretty is getting gorgeous logos and graphics and beautiful photography and high-end videos and all those things. But if the message is wrong to the wrong market, it doesn't matter how pretty it is. It's the stories and the words that resonate with a market to make them take a direct response. And one of the most powerful medias is my passion, audio and video, delivering direct response content via audio and video. And I know this is true. This is my good friend Jim Edwards and I. We did $500,000 on the first ever, to my knowledge, video training for the internet. It was called Website Video Secrets. We sold about $500,000 courses over a period of a year in 2005, before there was a YouTube, before anybody. In fact, I believe, to my knowledge, I'll take credit for it, Jim and I were the first person to ever to do what was called a video sales letter. Now, where did video sales letter come from? Dan Kennedy. Dan Kennedy was talking about building sales letters that were mailed out through the postal service. And then he said, I remember one time Dan said, the internet is nothing more than direct mail with electrons, meaning it was video, it was sales letters that used to be sold, sent through the post office, and then people could go look at it on their computers on in internet browsers. So the same psychology that worked with the direct mail business worked with the internet, and we took the psychologies of the sales letter and just put it in video, and it became known as the video sales letter. So I believe we invented it. We didn't get credit for it, but you know, I'd love somebody to prove that they were doing it before 2005. Jim and I were the first, and we were teaching it back then at Website Video Secrets. So now I want to introduce my dear, esteemed direct response marketing brother from another mother. I've known this gentleman for 41 years, and we both have a common bond of music. In fact, I met Hal, through a dear mentor friend of ours, Larry Latimer, because Larry was selling jingles, something I'm doing again these days for the internet. And Hal is an amazing singer, amazing guitar player, an amazing songwriter. And, you know, he's got a number one country record called The Bird. You ought to Google that in YouTube and listen to The Bird by Jerry Reed. Hal wrote that song. He's written a lot of great songs. He's one of the most creative human beings I ever met. And that was the day, that was back in 1980 when he and I met. Maybe it was 79, but that's what Hal looked like in 79. That's what I looked in 1980. That was the night I recorded, I Was Cable When Cable Wasn't Cool for Ted Turner. So Hal years ago said, I want to do a Mr. Offline and Mr. Online partnership with you, which we have. We're doing it in the pest control business. And, that's what we're doing these days. So I want you to see what we, you can see what I look like on the left over here. So let me bring in Hal right now and get that. This is one of the things that's practicing this stuff. I'm bringing Hal up. Hal, there you are, my friend. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, Mike. And it's amazing that we both still look exactly the same as we did.
Exactly the same, don't we? We do. Oh, Lord. So, Hal, if there's anything you have any comment on there, because I know from our experience of working together all these years and being friends all these years and having joint ventures and partnerships that have been fun and profitable, just as you and I are both fans of music, you know, you see my guitar behind me and, I see your guitar behind you. We still love music. We do music for pest control agencies and all kinds of businesses. But tell me your perspective on the direct response marketing tips that you would give folks.
Well, Mike, funny you asked that, you know, that my favorite subject to talk about. I would tell you this little illustration to show you how direct response marketing works. Direct response marketing is designed to get somebody to take a specific action at a specific time. And the best way to illustrate that versus brand or institutional advertising is to, I like to use Goodyear. Now, let's suppose you're sitting at a baseball stadium and there's 50,000 people in that stadium watching a game. And you look up and there's this blimp hovering up over the stadium. You watch it for hours. There's a real good chance that is a Goodyear blimp. It just says Goodyear on the side of the blimp. Okay, you with me? Now, let's suppose that out of the 50,000 people in that stadium, Mike, how many automobiles do you think are parked in the parking lot? You know.
Back in the day, 50,000, who knows?
50,000, you know, let's say there's 20,000 automobiles in the parking lot. Now, how many of those automobiles out of those 20,000 do you think probably need a set of tires? And people know they need a set of tires. You know, you can go a long way on a set of tires that's worn out, but you know you need them. But, you know, it's not like you notice you need it the next day and you get them. So people put off buying them. So there you got 50,000 people sitting there looking up and seeing a Goodyear blimp. And let's say 5,000 of them need tires. How many people during that ball game do you think are going to look over at their spouse or their friend and say, I'm going out tomorrow morning and buy me a set of tires?
Just looking at the blimp, probably none.
probably none. But let's suppose that on the side of that blimp, instead of just Goodyear, it said Goodyear, but underneath
a great brand.
Underneath it, it said, buy two tires, get two free, any Goodyear store ends noon tomorrow. Buy two tires, get two free, any Goodyear store ends noon tomorrow. Now, how many people you think might look over at their spouse and say, honey, I'm going out tomorrow morning and buy a set of tires?
Well, I'm sure with that perfect message to the right market, the response was increased tremendously by that call to action.
That's all I want to hear say. The response would increase tremendously because instead of just saying Goodyear, which is institutional or brand advertising, now it says buy two tires, get two free, any Goodyear store noon tomorrow, ends noon tomorrow. That is direct response marketing. They want you to go buy a set of tires before noon tomorrow. That's direct response marketing. And like you said, there's going to be a significant increase in the number of people that go out and buy tires tomorrow morning. That's just a simple example of direct response marketing versus brand marketing.
You know, my good buddy Charlie's here and he says, ugly doesn't sell either. You know, I have this confrontation with people who are fans of brand marketing. I don't say make it ugly. I'm just saying, what can you afford to do first? And, you know, and my comprehension of what Dan was saying, he wasn't saying do things in an ugly manner. He was just saying you're taking that message and you're invoking a response. And in fact, a lot of the things that he did were, you know, when he said pretty doesn't sell, what he meant was is pretty alone if the message is wrong. I mean, you know, and that's a great example. That Goodyear blimp, we know that logo. We know the blimp. How many tire companies have a blimp? You know, Goodyear's the only one. So, You don't say the Michelin blimp or the Blimpy Sandwiches blimp. You say the Goodyear blimp. So they, through millions of dollars of exposure, have associated blimps with their brand. And if you ask anybody in the football stadium, so that logo up there, what do they sell? Well, everybody knows they sell tires. But by adding that direct response message first can invoke a sale. And then when you start getting momentum and sales, then you can start building that brand. And in some cases, there's some people that, you know, if they're growing their business and getting profitable, that brand expense may not be as important. You know, it's like one of the things we talk in pest control. There's an agency in the south of the United States. I don't know if they're all over the United States, but Cookies Pest Control. They got a slogan, looky, 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 here comes Cookie, Cook's Pest Control. But it's not that's a great brand, and the world knows that brand. But when people are wanting to get rid of their problems, they're going to go to Siri and go, pest control near me. And if Cookie doesn't come up, they're going to get somebody that, you know, looks like they're going to solve their problem. So those are the kind of things that you know, the direct response marketing is good. But you know what is going on right now, Hal? We need to have a word from our sponsor. So we'll be right back after this word from our sponsor.
Dot Life Secrets. Go live, repurpose, archive. Dot Life Secrets.
Dot Life Secrets is here, and I am more excited about this training than any offer I have made in years. Content marketing is the way you build visitor traffic to your online business offer. Some say the only organic SEO left. When you make the commitment to create a regularly scheduled live show, repurpose that show as a YouTube video, podcast in Apple and Spotify, as a Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn post, and transcribe that audio into text for articles and memes, it is the fastest, easiest way to do content marketing and have audience engagement. My course has three offers: do it yourself, done for you, and a financed cert term jingle bundle. I believe in this so much, I made the commitment to go live, repurpose, and archive myself. So go to dotlivesecrets.com and you can start going live, repurpose, and archive yourself.
Dot Life Secrets. Go live, repurpose, archive. Dot Life Secrets.
And we're back. I thought I'd throw this little slide up here. If you want to get some more of Hal Coleman's wisdom, be sure to check out pestcontrolmarketingpodcast.com. And of course, every second and fourth Monday of the month, we are doing pestcontrolmarketing.live. Even if you're not in the pest control business, there will be something that you can use for your brick and mortar business or even your online business. Because what we talk about passionately is direct response marketing. Hal, we're getting a lot of comments here, but is there anything else that you want to share about direct response marketing?
Number one, my pest control marketing applies to any small business, not just pest control, because they all basically, the rules and laws of marketing and communication are the same, you know. But going back to the prettiness doesn't sell, glitter doesn't sell, shiny doesn't sell, values sells. That's another way of saying it. But do you know what has sold more items than anything in the history of advertising? Black ink on white paper.
Yep.
Black ink on white paper, sales letters, sales, you know, people reading about products. And a lot of times people tend to get things designed graphically so that the graphics totally overpower the message, and the message doesn't get read because people are too busy with the graphics. And when that happens, you lose the sales.
Well, you know, the whole purpose of today is like I said, is to maybe stir up some controversy. You know, everybody doesn't agree with us. All I know is for my business, and I know for your business, we are bigger fans for small business using direct response. And, you know, there's a lot of big business. I know when we were on your show earlier today, we were talking about Mike with MyPillow.com. I mean, you know, there is a national brand, but his ads are just chock full of direct response, direct marketing response triggers. You like to call them response triggers. Why don't you talk about response triggers a little bit before we take some questions here?
Well, psychological buying response triggers or buying buttons are simply words, phrases, graphics that generate a buying response that make somebody, you know, in the early days when I went into the pest control business, you know, over 30 years ago, back in 1990, I was in the yellow pages because there was no internet. And I put, I did a yellow page ad. There were a lot of pest control companies in there. And that was the internet of the time. And when people would call, and I would always ask, well, how'd you find out about me? They'd say, oh, I found you in the yellow pages. And I would ask the question, well, because I put my name on my yellow page ad. At the time, I really didn't know how important that was, but I just thought it was cool. I was proud of my name and my company, so I put Hal Coleman. So I would say, why did you choose my ad over the other ads? And they would say, most of the time, they'd say, well, because you had your name on there. And I felt like I knew somebody there that I could ask for. So putting your name and especially your name and a face, attaching that to your company, just like Mike Lindell did with My Pillow, just like Lee Iacocca did with Chrysler, just like Dave Thomas did with Wendy's, just like Colonel Sanders did. Colonel Sanders, putting a name and a face with a business is a response. That generates a buying response from people. That one thing pushes them over the line and causes them to swipe a credit card. A call to action is a response trigger, a powerful one. Rather than just putting your phone number, give them a reason. Tell them to call now, and why should they call? Offer something of value to them free that they can get to help them without having to actually buy from you. That's another powerful response generator. A guarantee is a response generator. The longer, the stronger, the more response you get. So there are all kinds of words and phrases that generate a buying response. That's that unlocks that buying vault in people's brain, and they say, yeah, that's the reason I want to do business with you. And there are a lot of them. I actually have a workshop I do, you know, the top 12 buying response triggers that you should be using in all of your marketing and advertising and sales presentations.
Well, we got time enough for a couple of few questions. My good friend Tom Brooks is here with a great question that I want you to address, and I'm going to address. And this is your chance if you want to get a question in. This is what Tom says, Hal. He says, what's an easy way or best way to track your advertising effectiveness? How do you know if it really works? Well, I'm going to tell you something that I highly recommend from the online side is, you know, number one, coupon codes. In other words, in fact, in today's live stream, I'm going to have a coupon code that is only available from this live broadcast or from an ad. So tracking coupon codes, I used to tell my clients in video to offer something of value for free at the end of the video. And in fact, what it would be, it could be like a free hour of time or a 10% discount or, you know, anything that says, look, if you like everything I've told you in this video, here's what I want you to do. Call me and say, I saw your video and I will give you absolutely free this bonus. And when somebody calls or emails or responds with a coupon code or any of these tracking mechanisms, and the only way they could have found out about it was in either the ad or the video or the sales letter. And then, of course, my good friend Charlie Martin here is here. He'll remind me there's several phone tracking systems out there that are very cheap. So in other words, you can give out a phone number that will redirect from that number to your main phone number. And then, you know, you get a report of how many people called that. So in other words, if you put in your ads and your audio ads, your video ads, your websites, and you use tracking numbers. And then, of course, the biggest thing that most people don't configure, monitor, or watch is Google Analytics. Google Analytics will let you know, how many times people watch videos. YouTube gives you all kinds of analytics. So there's plenty of tracking mechanisms to know what works and what doesn't work. Now, what about you, Hal? What do you think?
Well, there's one thing, especially in my industry, which is a home service type industry, that overrides all of that. And that is to ask this question. How did you find out about me?
Oh, boy, that's what? Really Mr. Yeah, Offline sure. Right there.
12 o'clock. How'd you find out about me? I saw your billboard. I got your thing, your flyer in the mail. A friend of mine referred me to you. I saw your ad. I found you on Google. I saw all your review. Just ask. And I always had all my technicians with a little monthly sheet on their desk, taped to the desk. There was a little column, internet, billboard, truck, referral from real estate agent, referral from neighbor, referral from current customer. We had all these categories. And when they talked to us, all they just do is put a check mark down there. It was so easy to track. And at the end of the month, we added them up and we knew where our business was coming from. And then we knew which areas that we should be spending more time and effort in. You see, we knew where the fish were being caught. So we spent more time fishing in those places, you might say.
So I get it. You used to have human beings with pencils and paper tracking it.
Yes,
and I'm recommending electronic computerized ways of doing it while you sleep. Is that what you're saying?
Listen, when I went in business, my guys used quill pens.
Oh,
but now I do it both ways.
Your first customers, right?
98 or 99% of my business comes from the internet, thanks to you. Over the years, beating me and kicking me and dragging me and humiliating me for 40 something years until now. I have my own live streaming show also, but still, when people call, they say, I want to talk to you about your coaching. I said, great. How'd you hear about me? Oh, I've been listening to your podcast for a couple of years. I watched that TV show you did with Mike Stewart the other day. Or I found you online and I found some of your blog articles online, or I watch your YouTube videos. It's all online with me now, but I still never fail to ask that question. And you watch a podcast. Oh yeah. Which episode did you watch? They tell me they love to talk about how they found you. So I never fail to ask that question. And they always tell me exactly how they found me.
Well, I'm going to do an old school thing right now so that if people want to get a hold of Hal and have a conversation with him, there's his online presence, pestcontrolmarketer.com, and there's his old school Georgia area code phone number that he's had since you had that phone number 41 years ago, didn't you?
Oh, I had that phone number since 1974 when I got married and
Well, that just shows how far we go back.
My first wife, Lynn, and I had that phone number, and Lynn and I still have that phone number 45 years later.
Well, you know how you're just a library of amazing direct response marketing. You're an incredibly amazing musician and singer and songwriter. And for the folks that don't know it, Hal can sound just like Willie Nelson. In fact, you got to go listen to The Bird by Jerry Reed. Go YouTube that. And when you hear Willie singing, there he is. Of course, I'll show you what he looked like when he sang that one more time.
I was afraid that might offend Willie. And at the Music Awards, we both went on stage together to accept an award for that song up in Nashville. And I asked him, I hope that didn't offend you or anything that I was doing a sound alike of you. And I'll never forget his answer. He said, man, it knocked me out.
Well, you know what?
That's a
bucket list dream there. And that's what Hal looked like when he was singing, The Bird. And that's what I look like when I was trying to figure out what I want to do when I grow up. And so
here
at any rate, with all that being
grown, and we haven't changed a bit.
I haven't grown up. That's exactly what's happened to me. So I'm going to look at these comments one more time. Folks, you got Hal here right now. If you got any other comments or questions, I like what Tom said here. Brand plus offer expiration date increased equal sales. Tom is a great marketer out on the, as Steve Clark used to say, the left coast. I think he's out there in Oregon somewhere. So Tom, glad you're here. He's a great radio guy, great marketing guy. Our good buddy, Roger Wilson. We all know Roger says, how'd you get all those words on the blimp, Hal? I think that's a private one-on-one call with the two of you.
Yeah. You got to have a tall ladder, Roger, a tall ladder and a big paintbrush.
A tall ladder to big paint. I think they do it with electric lights, Hal. I don't think they use paintbrushes and tall ladders. Well, listen, folks, thanks for attending this episode of Mike Stewart .live, brought to you by Dot Live Secrets. Go live, repurpose, and archive. This is all about content marketing. I mean, we love it. I love this interactivity of having people show up. So share us with your friends. We're in Apple, Spotify. We're going to be everywhere. Watch the replay. And one of the things that's great about this, the minute we're done, the replay is available, warts and all, because this is live television through the internet. So until next, in 2 weeks, 10 a.m. Central Time, MikeStewart.live is the channel, 10 a.m. Monday morning, second and fourth Mondays. And be sure to check out PestControlMarketer.live with Hal. There's plenty of great information there. I was glad to introduce and have you as one of my first guests on these new shows. This is my second show, Hal. I had Jeff Herring last week. Go back and watch that show. And would you come back if I invited you someday?
Oh, I'd love to. This is fun. But why did you have Jeff before you had me?
In the scope of technophobia, in the scope of technophobia, Jeff is a three and you're 100.
Okay.
All right. See you next time, buddy. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Thank you.